Come on.
Rishvus the Marda Asar, Rabbi Freundlich, all of the Rabbanim who are here, Kal HaKohol HaKadosh Hazeh, I feel very comforted to be together. I don't feel safe, but it feels very comforting when we all come together night after night and we're able to try in any measure that we can to be mechazik each other and to show that we're here for one another. The situation as it is now is exceptionally real. We're actually living through it. It's hard to believe, but we're actually living through it. And for different people, being real means different things. So, obviously, for our beloved chayalim, for our chayalot, for our shotrim, for our shotrot, for all the men and women who are on the front lines, who are in reserves, and waiting to go to the front lines, as we know, there has been such a tremendous response of so many soldiers from all over the world. Were they traveling? But so many have stepped up and have been interested and eager to be there to fight for Am Yisrael, to fight for the Jewish people. Of course, this is real for them in one way, in one aspect. For parents who have to hug and kiss their children, not knowing if they're going to have the opportunity to do it again, whether or not their children are going to come back alive from those wars and from those fights, is a different kind of being real. Families who are uprooted from the south and have had to find shelter with their families to go to new locations. Families across the country who are living in bomb shelters. Just today, a woman in our shul sent me a message from her grandson who lives in Yerushalayim. It's sad and it's beautiful all at the same time. And he asked his grandmother, "Can you ask Rav Shechter whether Tevas Noach had a mamad in it?" This is the way six-year-old children are thinking. Did Tevas Noach have a shelter? Where did they go? Families who are living with trauma and with fear. I just spoke today with Bat Galim Shire, who is one of the mothers of the three boys. And she said, "I want you to know the trauma that I have been living with my family for the last 10 years is going to be the trauma of the Jewish people the same way for the next 10 years. It's not as if whenever this is over, everything's going to go back to the way it was and life is going to resume. It will not. Children and families and communities are going to live with this trauma, with this harrowing saga, with every detail of the story being a part of their recent consciousness. It is not just going to go back to the way it was. It's real. Jews all over the world are anxious. They're afraid. The hostages, Hashem Yerachem Aleihem, we haven't heard so much about them, but think, Hamakom Yerachem Aleihem, do you understand what we mean when we talk about somebody who's in hostage, in captivity with barbaric animals? People who cloak themselves as human beings, but they're walking animals. A disgrace to what humanity is. Just imagine for a moment what these hostages must be living through and think for a second about this fake video we may have seen today, giving us the impression as if all of them are being taken care of, all of their humanitarian needs. There is not a doubt in any of our minds that that is not the case after what we have seen that they are capable of doing. Hashem Yerachem Aleihem, and on their families, living in constant fear. What's happening? Are their children alive? Are their parents alive? Are they being tortured? Who knows what's happening behind those enemy lines? So many layers. So many different ways in which this is real to different kinds of people. Wartime shailas are always heart-wrenching. If you've ever taken a moment to look in any of the tshuva svarim over the years and you see what the questions are, all of us have heard questions from tshuvas mima makim, but that is only one such sefer of the millennia of Jewish history where we have felt that we need to deal with questions that are important at a time of war. Just the other day, Rav Asher Weiss mentioned to me that he had a group of officers that had come from the south. They already went on duty the moment the war broke out, but they came back. And after He welcomed them into his home. He wondered what they were doing there. And they told him that they came for a bracha, which is wonderful and very special and very nice. But then they came to really ask him something else. These are commanders that are on the front lines. And they asked if it would be possible for him to administer a get ala tnai for all of them. This is what's on the mind of commanders. To potentially write a get for their wives. What happens if I don't come home? My wife is going to be remaining in Aguna for the rest of her life. How can I live with that? And he said that he responded, a soldier cannot go into Milchama. This is not the time to get into the halachic discussion. It's a good thing to do, a bad thing to do. But the mindset of a soldier going into Milchama cannot be that I will not come home. That cannot be the way he goes. And he offered each of them a bracha. And he said the moment he finished embracing them, they left his home. He closed the door and he said, he began to cry. And he said, Avinu Shebashamayim. During the year, people come to me. They ask me for a bracha for this, a bracha for that. All of it is wonderful and I try. Who knows if my brachas are mekuyim, but this time, if my bracha is not mekuyim, it will be the greatest chilul Hashem. It will be the greatest chilul Hashem that people will know that there was a possibility to save Agunos from that plight and we didn't do that. Asay leman shimcha hagadol. Asay leman shimcha hagadol and bring them all home. And make sure this problem is not something we need to think about. Just on Thursday night, I got a call, not because I was being consulted. They wanted me to ask my father, the director of social media for the Israeli consulate here in New York, was asked by her boss, who was on top of her, whether she should work this Shabbos. She never works on Shabbos, but this Shabbos, he wanted her to work. And she wanted to know, what are the parameters? The wartime effort is translated into so many different tentacles. There are so many different faces to this war. It's not just the soldiers standing in the front. It's every person has a different facet, a different part that they can partake, that they can give, that they can be a participant. But all of that comes with very serious halachic questions and very serious dilemmas, but none of those compare at all to the horrifying dilemma, to the painful and harrowing story that faced Reb Tzvika Mor from Kiryat Arba today. I don't know if any of you saw the video. It is absolutely amazing. Reb Tzvika Mor is a Jew who lives in Kiryat Arba. You listen to him speak, and you say, this is what it means to be a Jew. You understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ahavti Eschem Amar Hashem. You understand why the Ribono Shel Olam loves the Jewish people after you hear a man like this speak. Reb Tzvika Mor described that just yesterday, there was a get-together with all the families of the Shvuyim. Hundreds and hundreds of people came to the Beit Rosh HaMemshala. They came to the office of the Prime Minister, to his home actually, and they had a conversation. And he describes how everybody was crying and all of them were discussing. And of course, the Prime Minister was showing his part and assuring them that he was going to do everything he could to save their children and family members. But he said, after that finished, I volunteered to stand up and speak. Reb Tzvika Mor has a son, Eitan, who was taken hostage from one of the villages in Kiryat Aza. And he said the following, I love my son very much. There is nothing in the world that makes me miss my son as much as I miss him now, and I just can't even describe what it's like to live every moment not knowing what's happening to my child. Not knowing if he's even alive or dead. I have no inkling what's happening with my son. However, he said, if I have to make a choice, im ani tzarich livchor bein avas haben shali lebein avas ha'uma, If I have to make a choice between the love that I have for my son and the love of the Jewish people, if I know that my son is going to be the one endangering the Jewish people for his return, ani bocher ba'avat ha'umah, I say with absolute conviction, I will give up my son and I will never endanger the Jewish people to bring my son home. That was the dilemma that he faced today. Moshe Rabbeinu gets so much credit, Adon HaNeviim, the greatest leader of the Jewish people, the most outstanding, distinguished, dominant figure in all of Chumash and Kol HaTorah Kula, Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi. Moshe Rabbeinu gets so much credit for saying in Parshas Kisisa Mecheni Nami Sifrecha, it's not about me or my children. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I promise I'll start a new nation with you. Everything will be fine. Moshe Rabbeinu says, you think this is about me? Mecheni Nami Sifrecha Asher Kasavta. I have no vested interest here. I'm willing to put my child and my descendants to the side for the sake of the Jewish people. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu taught us. And now we have the modern day Moshe Rabbeinu is doing the same, being willing to stand up and say, I will put myself and my children and my descendants aside. La'ad ula'ome olamim. They could potentially be cut off from the Jewish people because they're going to be taken in the prime of their lives. Never to marry, never to have children, never to bring grandchildren into my family, but I'm ready to do it because of Ahavat Ha'umah, because I love the Jewish people, and that means more to me than anything else. Rav Hirsch points out, Moshe Rabbeinu's name is Moshe. The Medrash writes, he had many different names. Yekusiel, Avigdor, Tuvia, Yered, Chever, many different names, but he's known as Moshe. Why? As we know, ki min ha'mayim mishisihu, because he was drawn from the water, asked Rav Hirsch, who so often focuses on the etymology of words and the grammar and the dikduk and is it written properly or not. Rav Hirsch writes, the proper way to refer to him should have been Mashui. He's the one who was taken. Moshe gives the connotation that you are outstretching your hand, not that you are the one who is taken. So his name really should have been grammatically Mashui. Why do we refer to him as Moshe? Says Rav Hirsch, the reason why is because the world is made up of two kinds of people. There are the givers and there are the takers. Moshe Rabbeinu is being taught at the very inception of his life, you are not a Mashui. You are not going to live your life saying, I was taken and I want everything else to be given to me. I am expected to be the Moshe, the one who's going to stick my hand out and do for others the entire duration of my life. That's what life is for. That's what his name is, and that's the way we remember him, as the person who's willing to stand up and say, Mecheni na misifrecha. Let me share with you a story from almost 70 years ago. Yair Omer was a sergeant in the Golani Brigade. In the Suez Crisis, in the conflict in 1956, Yair, who was 20 years old at the time, unfortunately was killed in battle. He goes down as one of the many Kedoshim Utahorim Shemasru Nafsham Al Kedushas Hashem, a brave hero of the Jewish people who was willing to give of himself, to look beyond himself, and give of himself for the Jewish people at that time. Yair Omer is not the end of the story. 1 week later, his father wrote the following letter to Ben Gurion, which finds itself in the National Archives in Tel Aviv. And this is just amazing. He writes the following. This is 1 week after his son was killed in battle. 1 week after he sat Shiva for his 20-year-old son. Lechvod David Ben Gurion Shalom Rav. Ani achad me'otam 150 batei av sheshiklu et bnei'em. I am one of those 150 families who lost a child in this recent incident in the Suez. B'ni Yechidi Yair. Not only did I lose a son, he was my only child, Yair. Nafal b'krav al-Rafiach. He fell in battle by Rafiach in the Suez, and he was only 20 years old. Zos agid lecha, I will tell you. Im kol ha-keev shebelibi alav dan ma'or chayai. With all the pain that I have in my heart for what I've lost. Ha'aminu li, believe me. Just believe me, he says. Shelu b'ni gam yadam erosh ala gorel ha-tzafun lo. If my son knew from the outset that this was going to happen to him, if I would have told him before he went out in 1956 that he was going to be killed on the front lines, lo haya nirta af lerega mileches bederach bahalach velacham, he would not have had 1 ounce of hesitation. He would not have had to be encouraged. He would have gone on his own. He would have been elated to go. Not 1 ounce of him would have hesitated for a moment whether or not he should go. But then he writes the following. Ata, you, the Prime Minister, asher nafal begoralecha, that it fell on your responsibility. Laseis ba'achrayis kveida le'amenu, you carry the burden of our people. You're the Prime Minister, you're making decisions. La'achriya b'dvarim akovim gam eschaye b'neinu, you're making decisions that are going to determine the fate of our children. We understand what a responsibility that is. You think you can't sleep at night? You're having a hard time? Imagine. Rosh HaMemshalah has to make a decision every moment in either direction what to do. You think he's sleeping? And he addresses the Rosh HaMemshalah directly and he says, Libcha davoy al kol neta tzair shenegda, I know that your heart is in pain because of every young child that has been killed. You can probably use some encouragement, some consolation. No less than we need it. We all need to be consoled. And he writes, if I will be able to mitigate and ease the pain, even in some small way, you must have so much sadness, so much pressure, so much sorrow. I'm writing to you because I want you to be strong. And I'm sure that you're suffering inside, and I just want you to know that I'm there with you. And he responds to him and he says, I am so shocked that a parent who lost a child is willing to put his emotions aside, to put himself aside and to think about me and to write me such a letter. And he ends off and he says, your words are astounding. Dvarecha muflaim v'yarbu kimoscha b'Yisrael. And the Jewish people should be lucky to have more people like you in their ranks. All of us are part of the war effort in some way. All of us play a small role, and all of us understand that we are doing whatever we can, but our job is to understand that we put everything else aside. To be a Moshe and not a Mashui. To be willing to say, Mecheni Nami Sifrecha. It's not about me. I don't need credit for anything. It doesn't matter how much money I raised. It doesn't matter that I bought the vest and someone else did this. Do whatever we can. It's not about me. It's not about my shul. It's not about my little community or my friends. It's about what does the Jewish people need? Am I prepared, just like everybody else is doing in Israel? Am I prepared to put all of my own feelings on the side to say I'm doing this for whatever is best of the Jewish people? And says the Rambam, when a soldier goes out to Melchama, of course, al yerach levavo, he's not allowed to be afraid and he's not allowed to be concerned. But beyond that, says the Rambam, lo yichashev lo beishto velo bebanav. He's not supposed to think at that moment about his wife, about his family, about his children. We clear everything else out of our minds and we focus on the task at hand. We are all brothers to those chayalim and chayalot. But in some way, we also are able to serve as chayalim. We can all be soldiers in the army of the Jewish people in whatever way we can. And the Rambam tells us exactly how to do that. To take ourselves, our families, our community, and our children out of the equation. Yifana milibo. Because the focus right now for all of us is mecheni na misifrecha. It's not about me. It's about understanding that there are great Jews who live in our generation who have taken on that tremendous task of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's about the people like Reb Tzvika Mor who are waiting anxiously for their son to come home and who understand it's not about me and it's not about my son. It's about what is best for the Jewish people. Let us hope that our tefillos that we are going to say, Berov Am Hadras Melech, will be accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let us be the Chayalim tonight in this way. There are so many different prongs to this Melchama, but of course this is one major part to the Melchama. Let HaKadosh Baruch Hu listen to our tefillos, Shema Koleinu Hashem Elokeinu, V'kabel, V'rachamim, U'V'ratzon, Es Tefilasenu, and we should hear B'suros Tovos for all of Am Yisrael.